An economy in freefall, home values plummeting, jobs disappearing. Are these normal cycles which will soon turn around? Or are these evidence that America is fading from its past glories as God withdraws his protection? Many assume that God will always bless America as he has before. But can we accept the premise that judgment is coming and may be at our door? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is once again answering the question, is God on America's side? He's discussing God's judgment of nations, a judgment that may well be underway for these United States.
God sometimes uses nations that are wicked to judge those who are less wicked. 10th chapter of Isaiah. Woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees and the writers who keep writing oppression. He's talking about people who make unjust laws, make demands of people that are unfair, to turn aside the needy from justice and to rob the poor of my people their right, that widows may be their spoil and that they may make the fatherless their prey. People taking away even the rights of widows and orphans. God says, I'm watching it all in the land of Israel. What is God going to do about it? There was idolatry, there was immorality, there were all of these things that were taking place. And what is God's response? Well, notice what the text says in verse 5. Ah, Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff in their hands is my fury. That particular last part of the verse is a little difficult to interpret. Some people, some translations interpret it, and the club of my fury, which probably is what God meant. But he says, Assyria is the rod of my anger and the club of my fury. God says, I'm going to use Assyria to punish you, and you are going to be oppressed. Notice what the text says. Against a godless nation I send him, and against the people of my wrath I command him to take the spoil and to seize the plunder and to tread them down like mire in the streets. Wow, God says, I'm going to use Syria to do it because he is the instrument of my wrath. Assyria, ancient Assyria. Not the modern-day Assyrians, some of whom worship with us, but ancient Assyria was a very, very evil, oppressive, and terribly cruel country. Far worse than Israel could have ever been. And Assyria had weapons and ways of waging war that Israel did not have. And God says, I'm going to bring Assyria down. And Assyria is the rod of my anger, and the Assyrians are going to come, and they're going to plunder, and they're going to destroy you. And they did. If I remember correctly, when the Assyrians came in about 722 BC, they took 27,000 of the Jews, and they took them to Assyria, and they assimilated there with all of the Assyrians, and those tribes were never heard from again. Years ago, there was a group by the name of the British Israelites. They believed that those Jews actually ended up going to Britain. But they were destroyed from the face of the earth as a people of identity. God says, that's what I'm going to do. And then they brought Assyrians into the land, and they intermarried with some of the Jews that were left, and that was what the Samaritans were. But God says, I'm going to use Assyria to punish you. Now let's think of America for a moment. How good are we? Well, we may be better than some nations in some areas, but we may be worse. But for a moment, let's just talk about all of the blessings of the United States of America. Is there any country on earth that has ever had the freedoms that we have here in the United States? The fact that we can still worship here and do so in freedom. The fact that the Word of God can still go out over Christian broadcasting and Christian television. America has sent more missionaries to different parts of the earth to share the good news of the gospel than any other country in existence. The Americans are a generous people, sometimes almost too generous. We helped destroy Germany as we fought against Nazism, and after the war was over, we gave Germany money so that it could rebuild itself, and we gave Japan money. And we give foreign aid to nations all over the earth, and we do so consistently even now. When people in other countries want to have good medical care, they come to the United States of America because we have the finest hospitals. Technology grows here in America. And many of our scientists have discovered some of the greatest breakthroughs. America is an unusually blessed and great country. Would you for a moment imagine a world without the United States of America? When there's a tsunami, it's America that sends the most aid. When there's a tragedy in the world, it is America that wants to go over there and help. Surely America is a great and wonderful country. But the question is this. May God use a very wicked country to judge us? The answer is yes. He may use a nation where women are treated and oppressed in ways that are chilling. He may use a nation where if someone converts from their religion to Christianity, the responsibility of the family is that they might take that person and kill them, and they are to do so without any sympathy or without any remorse. He may use a nation that is so wicked that it deliberately targets women and children and wants to destroy them and to maim them. He may use a nation that is so wicked that they delight when planes fly into the Twin Towers and 3,000 people are innocently and surprisingly killed, even if we don't have a war. He may use a nation that is that bad. Yes, he may use a nation like that to judge us. And that would be thoroughly biblical and in keeping with God's character. God may use North Korea. God may use the war in Iraq to humble us. God may use other countries such as Iran. God is a God who judges nations and sometimes uses wicked nations, thoroughly wicked nations, to judge those who are really less wicked. And that would be totally scriptural. You see, the God of the Bible blesses and curses. He both helps and he judges, and sometimes he uses evil nations to do his bidding. That's what Habakkuk's problem was. You remember Habakkuk looked around and said, "Oh Lord, I don't understand this. There's evil in the land, and you aren't doing anything." And God says, "Hey, wait a moment. I'm raising up the Babylonians." Now, he was thinking about the land of Judah, where Jerusalem is. And God says, "I'm going to bring the Babylonians against you." And Habakkuk said, "Now I have an even greater problem. Because we're evil, but we're not that bad." God said, "Yes. Because you have spurned my light and turned against me, I will bring this evil nation against you." And that's exactly what happened in the Babylonian captivity when the people of Jerusalem left and they went to Babylon, and then they came back and they rebuilt the temple, and you know the rest of the story. God uses evil nations to judge other nations. Let's go on to a third very important proposition. The final judgment of the nations. In that final judgment, it becomes an individual judgment, because that's what God does. At the end of the day, he judges individuals. If you take, for example, Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 25, and this is the third passage I want you to look at, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. And thank you for turning to it in your Bibles. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." And you'll notice that on one side will be the sheep, the other side will be the goats, determined by how they responded to the Jews during the tribulation period. Verse 41, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Because when I was hungry, you gave me no food. When I was thirsty, you gave me no water,'" and so forth. And then you'll notice in verse 46, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Now, I've given you an all too quick overview of this particular judgment. Years ago, I preached an entire message on it. So let me simply say that when it speaks about the judgment of the nations, it doesn't mean that here the United States is going to be judged and Canada is going to be judged and Mexico. It really is the judgment of the Gentiles. It's the judgment of all of the different peoples of the world. And at the end of the day, when it becomes an eternal judgment, it is an individual judgment. You see, when God judges nations, the righteous suffer with the wicked. There's no doubt that there were believers who died at the Twin Towers. There were believers who died in Katrina and in natural disasters. When God judges nations, you know, we all are in this together. I have no doubt that among the 27,000 that went into Assyria and were taken captive, that among those there may have been some really genuinely true believers. But when it comes to eternal judgment, then it is an individual judgment. At the end of the day, we all stand before God. And the question then is whether or not we've responded to God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and God's love. Where does this leave us in answering the question of whether or not God is on our side? Let me give you what I consider to be here the bottom line. First of all, God cannot bless us as a nation when. God cannot bless us as a nation when we justify homosexual relationships and call it diversity. He cannot bless us as a nation when we lead the world in the production and distribution of pornography around the world and call it free speech. He cannot bless us as a nation when we kill preborn infants and call it choice. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course you heard me delineating just some of the sins of America. And I'm sure that if the list were complete, it would include racism, and it would include all kinds of family issues, fathers leaving their families, and young women becoming pregnant, and the men leaving them, and there they are, they're the ones that bear the burden of the pregnancy and all of the implications. Surely we live at a time when the world is broken down, when there is so much need here in America. But I want to conclude today by talking about the positive, by speaking about the opportunities that we still have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you could take advantage of that opportunity today. Here's a challenge. The challenge is, think of someone whom you could witness to today. Maybe, in fact, it's a non-Christian friend that you could call on the telephone, and you wouldn't necessarily give them the gospel over the telephone, but set up a lunch. Tell them that you'd like to talk with them sometime and listen to what they have to say. Listen carefully, and God will open the door so that you can share your own faith. Thank God we can still do that in America. There are many countries in the world in which we can't. Take advantage of the freedoms that still exist. And at the same time, be sure that you devote yourself to God in commitment to Him, and let us pray for this great country. See you next time as we continue this message on Is God on America's Side?
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series asking, Is God on America's Side? Tomorrow, more on why God cannot bless America as He has in the past. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Is God on America's Side? Dr. Lutzer has written a book by this title, a book we'll send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Ask for your copy when you call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.